Such persons are condemned by the supreme order of the Lord, because they are averse to the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are compared to stool-eating hogs. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. Purport. Everyone is addicted to hearing of the activities of another person, whether a politician or a rich man or an imaginary character whose activities are created in a novel. There are so many nonsensical literature, stories and books of speculative philosophy. Materialistic persons are very interested in reading such literature, but when they are presented material life is full of difficulties with genuine books of knowledge like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu Purana or other scriptures of the world such as the Bible and Quran, they are not interested. These persons are condemned by the supreme order as much as a hog is condemned. The hog is interested in eating stool. If the hog is offered some nice preparation made of condensed milk or ghee, he won't like it. He would prefer obnoxious, bad smelling stool, which he finds very relishable. Materialistic persons are considered condemned because they are interested in hellish activities and not in transcendental activities. The message of the Lord's activities is nectar, and besides that message, any information in which we may be interested is actually hellish. Prem Kirtan is performed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prem Kirtan Das is from which part of Gujarat? Hyderabad. You're from here, is it? All right. I just reading this purport reminded me of one sweet which is very famous in Surat. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. Curry? It's like it's thick condensed milk inside with nuts and very sweet, and then outside, just to make it more rich, it's caked in ghee. So it's very popular. No, not Srikhand. It's a solid sweet. It's very expensive. So that sounds nice to offer to Krishna and take as prasad. Would anyone like? I don't have any here with me. I can only make you think of it. Would anyone like to eat stool? Fresh. Fresh, hot, special aroma? No one? Oh, that's for the hogs. For the human beings, there's nice food. Well, there's a stall just in front of the post office here at Abids every day. They have a special second-hand stool sale. You know what I'm talking about? Here, that Prabhupada is writing about novels. So Prabhupada says that he compares this all to stool. It's like stool. People come and get, they have, which, when the novel is no longer novel, someone sells it to the second-hand bookstore and people come and they buy. Not even fresh stool, second-hand, recycled books. And this is the most amazing thing, how Imagine this Prabhupada, he's just exactly as described. People are addicted to hearing the activities of another person, even an imaginary character whose activities are created in a novel. Now all over the world, this Harry Potter is very famous. I'm not exactly sure what the storyline is, but it's something magical or something like this. And the first day that the new book in the series, do you mind if I give you a little instruction, sir? Yes. Srila Prabhupada, when he saw the hand in the mouth, he would send out, go out and wash your hand and don't put it in your mouth because it contaminates everything. So would you like to go and do that? Thank you very much. No, you wouldn't. All right. Well, please don't put your hands on anything until you wash them. The mouth is dirtier than the anus. We're talking about stool here. But Prabhupada said that the mouth is more dirty than the anus, because most diseases are transmitted orally. So this Harry Potter, the first day the new book came out, it was like 1 million copies were sold all over the world. And the publishing houses, they pay in advance for famous novel writers millions of dollars to write. They pay them for a novel which they haven't written yet, and people are buying this and they discuss it. At school we had to study Shakespeare and give comments about the drama. I can't remember. We studied it for like 1 year, but I can't remember anything about the story. The only thing I remember is that there was some allusion to reincarnation in there. That's all. But they take it very seriously. Then at the end of the year we had to go to watch a performance of the play. And they take it very, very seriously. Shakespeare wrote some drama, but it's just all imagination, some imaginary figures in an imaginary story, and people take it very serious. So Prabhupada says there are so many nonsensical literatures. It's nonsense. And then even hearing the activities of another person, even if it's not totally imagined, if it's the life and activities, or they have magazines which are dedicated to discussing the love affairs of movie stars. Well, according to this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's asadgataha. Asad. This word asad means temporary, unreal, untrue, off, wrong. Just like stool. So it's a very strong condemnation, but actually it's a fact that we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are meant to hear about Krishna, who is described in this verse as achyuta. Anyone else we hear about is fallible. Achyuta means infallible, who doesn't fall down. Mukunda Maharaj told, maybe you all don't know him, he's one of Prabhupada's first disciples. He's from America, but he's living in New Zealand for the last so many years. So he's one of the very first disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So he was, before coming to the shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet, he was a rock musician and a promoter of rock concerts. So he got to meet many big rock stars who are famous people. Famous among the hippies. And later they became part of the establishment, mainstream. So, but he found that all these people, These famous people, they never had time to meet him. And from the advertisements and from the songs and the performances, you'll get, they have an image, they have a profile. But when he went to meet them, he found they're all inevitably just very puffed up. I'm a big star. But when he went to meet Prabhupada, he found that not only did Prabhupada have time for him, but he himself didn't know what to say. Of course, later Prabhupada had so many disciples. And when I joined in 1975, this is almost 10 years after Mukunda Maharaj joined. So by that time Prabhupada had made many disciples, and from the beginning there was no question of us new devotees or new trying to be devotees walking up to Prabhupada and talking to him. We'd go in the darshan, we'd go in the classes, and we'd serve his mission. But we were even told, don't write to Prabhupada because he's got more important things to do. He has to write his books. And Prabhupada himself wrote in his letters that why am I being asked the same questions over and over again? I've answered these in my books. Or you can see, instead of everyone individually writing letters, they can speak to my senior disciples who I've told all these things to. So anyway, the point here is that we create an image of these big people, or they pay people to create an image for them. And sometimes the image is created first and the person afterwards. That they look for someone, they have an idea of an image they want to make of a rock star, and then they find someone to play the role. It's almost like it's drama in so-called real life. But Mukunda Maharaj's experience was that Prabhupada was a real person. He was the first real person he'd ever met. Prabhupada said that, no, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that a symptom of a sadhu is that he is outside and inside the same thing. It's not that he's playing a drama up front, but inside is something else. Most everyone now has a point to write down. Huh? That's a new one for you all. It's not that everyone, they deal with you with some agenda in mind. That they show themselves to be something which they're not, because they want to make themselves look very good, or they want to show themselves to be your friend because they want to get something from you. But a sadhu, he has nothing to get from anyone. He is only to give. That's why we don't say, or we shouldn't say, I'm giving a donation to the temple, or I'm giving a donation to the sadhu. And what can you give? According to Shastra, anyway, everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. And in this world, the brahmanas and sadhus, they are the representatives of the Supreme Lord. So just like Prithu Maharaj, we find when he offers the whole world to the four kumaras, he said, actually I can't offer it to you because it all belongs to you anyway. Manu writes that everything belongs to the brahmanas, but they don't possess it because they're not interested. So you can't actually give anything. The word dakshina is not this, it's not translated as donation. That's a wrong translation. Donation means I am the giver, I am giving mercy. I am giving something and out of my kindness I'm giving. But rather, it's the kindness of the sadhu to accept and engage that in Krishna's service. So the hearing should be about the great persons. If we are to hear, we should hear about the great persons who are... that means the great person is achyuta, and other great persons are those who are achyuta gotra. In the temple, when you come, they ask, which gotra are you? And if you're not in any other gotra, if you're not in any good family, then you say achyuta gotra, in the family of God. But that's the best. That's the Vaishnavas are in achyuta gotra. All the other gotras, that's good also to be in. For instance, Gautam gotra, descended from a great personality. But the greatest of great personalities is the Supreme Lord, achyuta. So if one is connected with him by the process of bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga adhokshaje, the connecting process, Prabhupada translates in that verse. Connecting process of bhakti yoga, then one becomes, or we can say that one who is in that category of being connected with Krishna, then hearing about him is purifying. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the narration of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And devotees are also called Bhagavat. And hearing about pure devotees is as good as hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It has the same purport. Because the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam is stating and demonstrating the principle of pure devotional service. So that is there, that is written. And we find Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Man manabham adbhakto, think of me, become my devotee. But that's actually demonstrated in the lives of the great devotees as described in Bhagavatam. The Pandavas, Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Dwarkavasis, the Rajvasis. So that is actually demonstrated. And the same thing, just like we can read about Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, or Madhvacharya, his pastimes are given, Ramanujacharya, the Alvas, their pastimes are given. Just I received an email from a disciple of mine who's been commissioned in the school he's at in Govardhan to collect various stotrams in praise of the great devotees of our sampradaya. So he's finding it to collect and translate. So immediately he's finding it's a bigger thing than he thought it would be in the beginning. But that's, if you're in the Vrindavan area, you can collect something. But then if you travel in Orissa, Mithila, Bengal, you'll find, if you have to find out old manuscripts, there's so many great devotees. And that's the normal process, that disciples, they compose prayers in glorification of their gurus. And often Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially, he would compose poems in praise of his disciples. He did so many. There was a regular, maybe few hundred of them he made. He'd give as a Gaur Ashivad Patra, he'd present them with a poem in praise of their qualities, and then he'd give them a name, a title. Now, a name goes at the time of initiation, then along with the name there'd be a title. This is also part of our Actually, that's the Vedic tradition, that people are given a title. Apart from their regular name, there would be some title like Vachaspati, Tattvavit, Jyotish Tirtha. So that's in our Gauriya Vaishnava tradition. We haven't continued it in this generation. It could be done. But there are so many titles are given, just like that Bhakti Tirtha, Bhakti Kushal, Kriti Ratna, Vidya Bhushan, Vidya Ratna. So these titles are given in pursuance of a person's achievements and qualities. So that's not only in Vaishnava, but you'll find the non-Vaishnavas. Just like that name, Jyotish Tirtha, that's a title for one who's accomplished in Jyotish, astronomy and astrology. Or Vidya Bhushan, we have in our sampradaya Baladev Vidya Bhushan. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that title to several of his disciples also. Vidya Bhushan, Kunja Bihari, Vidya Bhushan, one of the most prominent disciples. Vidya Vinod, another prominent disciple. Sundarananda Vidya Vinod. But those titles are given among non-devotees and devotees also. So such persons whose vidya is understanding, Vaidaischa sarvairahameva vedyaha, Krishna is the object of knowledge in the Vedas. Such a person is to be glorified. Other narrations, they are like stool. Here it is stated. Hearing, it's just hearing about persons other than Krishna and his devotees, it's equivalent to eating stool. So better not be addicted to the newspaper, because then we become interested. What will happen? What's going on? I don't know what's going on in the news. Someone told me that now America, having made a big mess in Iraq, they want to enter Iran also. They want to attack Iran. So if you follow, then you can see what will George Bush do next. So devotees who are preaching, it's optional and not a bad idea to keep abreast of the news, because then you can, one thing is you can present Krishna conscious topics using the news as a beginning point. Prabhupada did this. We see in his early editions of Back to Godhead. He started Back to Godhead in 1944, so he would start with a news item, because people are interested in mundane news. And then he would start with that, and then he would take the topic into Bhagavad philosophy. Achyuta Katha Sudham, the nectar of the topics of Achyuta. Just like he started one article saying that we heard that on the such and such birthday of Mahatma Gandhi, let's say it was his 69th birthday, that George Bernard Shaw sent a message saying that I wish it was his 39th birthday. In other words, that he was younger so he could have a longer life to do more good to the human race, as conceived of by George Bernard Shaw. And actually practically everyone thought, except the British, who they thought he was, is a great sadhu. In India, people thought, great sadhu. Someone didn't like him, so someone shot him. But so Prabhupada, he wrote in a humorous way that we applaud the sentiment of George Bernard Shaw. You've heard of him? He's a famous writer, playwright, Irish playwright. Not famous in India, but famous among people interested in English literature. So famous enough that in the Back to Godhead in 1944, Prabhupada wrote his name and he didn't have to give any other explanation of who he was. So he wrote, we applaud the sentiment of George Bernard Shaw to cut 30 years off the life of, or to award George Mahatma Gandhi another 30 years of life. But the laws of nature are such that however much we desire, we cannot even add 30 seconds to anyone's life. What to speak of 30 years? And then Prabhupada gives the whole article like this. So Prabhupada, you see, even in those early days, when before Prabhupada was a well-known sadhu, he was, from the external point of view, he was a very ordinary person. From the external point of view, he was a Bengali businessman devotee whose business had failed, and therefore, in frustration, he left his family and came to live in Vrindavan. That's what it looked like. And he was going to be poverty-stricken. It's not unusual. There's so many in Vrindavan, poverty-stricken. And they were happy to live like that. That was the normal thing. They didn't even desire luxury. Now the mode of life in Vrindavan has changed a lot. Many people say because of the sahibs coming there, but it's become a rich man's town. So many rich people from Delhi are building apartments. But still there are many people who like to live there in poverty. So Prabhupada's living there in poverty, but he had this funny thing he was doing. He kept on running up to Delhi and writing these, making these magazines, and people thought, what's wrong with him? He's got this businessman's blood in him. He's not really fit for bhajan. He can't just sit in Vrindavan. He has to keep on running up and down to Delhi and trying to make some magazine or something like this. So Prabhupada wasn't well known, and no one understood or appreciated, but he was clear, he was bold, he was strong, he was writing on world issues. Who's going to listen to him? You might be thought it's just like you'll see some madman standing in the middle of the street saying that, tell George Bush I have a message for him, and just, yes, Manmohan Singh, yeah, just hold on a minute, I'm speaking to the to Musharraf. I'll be back in a minute or two. So people may have thought it was something like, who is this? Mostly people didn't think anything about him at all. But he was very clear that this is the message of the Absolute Truth, and it doesn't depend on his external material condition. Later he came back to Vrindavan and built a big temple. And some people ask, why are you building a big temple? When you're supposed to be a follower of Rupa Goswami, who sat under a different tree every night. And Prabhupada said, I don't need a big temple. I live like that also. But because you won't take this message, I have a serious message. And you, materialistic people, they won't take it seriously unless they see a big temple and think that I'm a material success. So it's for you. It's not required for me. Prabhupada, he wanted to have some big Mercedes-Benz cars imported, and on the side he wanted to have written A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Guru of the USA, and he wanted to drive around India with that written on his car. Because in those days, I don't think I ever saw a Mercedes, hardly you saw a Mercedes-Benz car in India. Even now you hardly see. So that was very prestigious, and he wanted to show that, you see, people are taking me seriously, not for self-promotion, but his message is important. Prabhupada never changed his message. He was very clear, very strong, just like here, the Bhagavatam is very clear and very strong, that anything except Krishna Katha, topics of Krishna, it's just as relishable as stew. So we could say, according to this description, the whole modern society is figuratively wallowing in stew. It's pig society. So many times Prabhupada said, they're not human beings, they're just pigs and cats and dogs. So it's very difficult to bring people to the standard of this very pure life of understanding Krishna. That our real purpose of life is to, real purpose, only purpose of life is to understand Krishna and be absorbed in Krishna Katha. The whole civilization in India was previously based on this. People would do a little work, and in the morning they would go to the temple or do some puja at home, do some mala, and in the evening they would hear Bhagavad Katha, Ramayan Katha, or some drama of Krishna Leela or Ram Leela, and in the day they would speak or sing of Krishna. The men working in the fields would be singing of Krishna while they're working. And just like it's described, the gopis in Vrindavan, they're churning butter. So while they're churning, they're singing about Krishna. This was the normal way of life. But now culture is spoiled. And I heard one way that this Naxalite movement is being promoted in Andhra Pradesh is they're using the same culture. They're promoting songs, promoting Naxalite ideas, and they circulate this among the villagers, and they have dramas. So instead of dramas to glorify Krishna, they have dramas showing how bad all these rich people are, they're cheating you. And then the people become angry and they want to go and shoot them. So it may be that the rich people are not treating them properly or whatever, but it used to be the culture that people would accept what situation they're in. And those who are rich are also, they're supposed to use their wealth for the service of Krishna. They would, even Prabhupada, he noted that there was one, he was doing business and he used to buy bottles for his pharmaceuticals that he was producing from a Muslim bottle merchant. So then the bottle merchant, his business flourished and he became quite rich. So then Prabhupada asked him that, oh, now you made so much money, what are you going to do with it? And he said, I'm thinking to build a mosque. So that was the culture, either Hindu, Muslim, whatever. The rich people had money, they would, of course they'd build some nice house and this and that, but they would use money for building temples and sponsoring sadhus, they would support the sadhus. And they would sponsor getting books copied, because to make a book, someone would have to write it out. So that's considered an act of punya, to write out the whole Bhagavatam or any other scripture. You employ someone to write it out, and then when it's finished, you offer it along with some gold or something like this to a sadhu who will appreciate that. Or you give it to a temple library. So this way, the rich people, they were using their money for some for sense gratification, no doubt. Sense gratification means also not the gross sense gratification of the modern age, but they were using that for promoting Krishna consciousness. So nowadays, it's just get money, spend money, all for sense gratification. Unfortunately, that culture is lost, but that should be re-established. If you have money, give money to Krishna. If you don't have money, it doesn't matter. You hear and chant about Krishna, everything for Krishna. So all these things are required. These classes we have in the temples, dramas, that's very important. Dramas means not just some comedy, but showing the pastimes of the Lord. Ambarish Maharaj drama, Sakshi Gopal, I remember even now, I'd been in the temple short time, and devotees, they made this drama of the Leela of Sakshi Gopal. And so beautiful, everyone was crying. So when they saw Krishna, it was just he could hear ting 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 ting, and then he stopped, and the sound stopped, and he turned around, and then for the first time we could see, and they'd made Krishna so beautiful. So there was no light humor. It was all very, very devotional, very beautiful. So this kind of drama, then people naturally, they'll say, yes, this is what we want. We want to be with Krishna. So all these means are there to absorb the mind and thoughts of Krishna. Different festivals, we hear different katha of Krishna in his different activities. Krishna has so many wonderful activities, and our acharyas have presented so many wonderful books. Now some of them are being translated. Prabhupada translated main books, and then more books are being translated. So better to fill our consciousness with thoughts of Krishna. Better not to be filled up with thoughts of materialistic people who, if we think of them, then our consciousness comes down. If we think of Krishna, our consciousness becomes purified. So let us think of Krishna and his wonderful activities. Just by remembering all the different names of Krishna, we automatically remember his... From Naam comes Gun, Roop, Leela. So, who can think of some names in relationship? Of course, sometimes they overlap, but in relationship to Krishna's Gun, his transcendental qualities. Anyone? Bhakta Vatsala. He's very much inclined to his devotees. Patita Pavan. Yeah. He's the purifier of the fallen. Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu. In the Karuna Sindhu means the ocean of mercy. Dinabandhu, the friend of the poor. Guna Nidhi, the ocean of all good qualities. Guna Raj, Guna Sagar, Gunarnava, all mean the same thing. Nam, Gun, Roop. There are so many names in connection with Krishna's Roop. Shama Sundar, Shama Varna. Color, bodily color, sham, very, very beautiful. What else? Madanna Mohanna Rupa, Trivanga Shunda. Yeah, Madan Mohan, that's... His form is in China. Yeah, it's kind of overlaps, doesn't it? Everything about him is... Yeah. He's a bewildering... Mother who bewilders everyone else. Pitamba. Pitamba Dhari. Or just Pitamba is usually said. who is wearing yellow. Pitamba literally means yellow cloth. Pitamba dhari, that's mock or usually just. Is that right? Okay, thank you very much. Then something, there's so many things famous about his roop. Keshava means who's got beautiful black hair. Vamshivadan, that's to do with his float, isn't it? That his form is inextricably connected with the flute. Of course, in other leelas, he's Shankadhari or Gadadhara. So many names. Padma, Padmaksha, Pankajangri. There's so many names for lotus. Kamal Nayan means the same as Padmaksha, Padmanetra, Kamalanabha, Ambujaksha. So these are names. So when we think of this, then we can fill our mind with Krishna. Then Leela, so many names connected with Krishna. Leela, Soman, Madhusudan, killer of Madhu, Damoda, Govinda. Govinda, is that connected with his? You could say connected with Leela, but we can't think of any specific Leela that's connected with. Banga Bihari, that's Roop. You're not getting the point. You know, it's not. We're trying to classify him, different categories here.
Girivaradhari.
Rishikesh, that's not name connected with Leela. Gopal, yeah. Although it overlaps, but it's not connected with any particular Leela. Makanchanya, that comes. So like this, there are so many. The names, you gave that name Madhusudan, so many enemies. Krishna's the, if you think of all the demons Krishna killed, he's got some name connected. So those all come under Leela. That means Kansari, Keshinisudana, Pralambari is Balaram, Ari, you've got Ari at the end, Chanurari, enemy of Chanura. So, better to remember Krishna. He's got more names than any of these sports stars, politicians. They will all come and go. But Krishna will stay. There's so many bogus gurus, so many bogus avatars. This Kalki avatar was popular. Now you don't hear anything about it. Now it's taken over by this bearded guy from Bangalore. I don't like to say his name. Something like Shaviranka. I say back different things. Why give him any publicity? He's become very popular and rich because, you know, if you even look at him, you have to pay 5,000 rupees or something. But it won't last. All these people, they come and go, but Krishna stays. They have these little booklets, Thus Spake, and they have all the name, someone, what they said. What Krishna says, that is important. What his devotees say, that is important. Everything else is like stool. Someone saying, quote of the day in the newspaper. It's stool of the day. So let's not discuss stool. We have to be careful to keep our life focused on the goal. It's possible to become diverted in so many ways. Just like wherever I go, people tell me, did you hear about this or did you hear about that? And it's we could say, ISKCON Katha. that in this temple, so-and-so is fighting with the temple president, and in that temple, someone stole some money, and in this temple, this, and it's a big organization. If you want to hear about all the gossip, you can spend all day and all night, but you know what? You won't become Krishna conscious. So you can get on the internet and see this person said this and that person said that, and there's a rumor about this. And but at the time of death, it's not going to help you think of Krishna. So better be tuned in to Vaikuntha Katha. Of course, if there are some problems, we may try to do something to offset that. But we should know our limits also, and we should know also that that's going to be there to some extent or other anyway. But that is not the subject. That is not the subject matter, or should not be the subject matter of our meditation. We can expect in Kali Yuga that definitely, even in a spiritual society, there will be all kinds of things going on which are influenced by Kali Yuga. But we should focus that we have not come here to make a different gossip club. We've come here to serve Krishna. So it's true that in ISKCON there are all kinds of things going on which shouldn't go on. That's true of every organization. If you think, well, I've had enough of this, I'm going to go and join the Gauriya Math, guess what? It's going on in every Gauriya Math also. So it's going on. It was going on even when Prabhupada was here. That's another myth, that when Prabhupada was here, there were no problems. It's just a complete myth. It's not true at all. And it will go on. But what's also going on is chanting Hare Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness, discussion of Krishna, serving the Lord. So if you like, you can look for the stool, and if you like, you can look for the nectar which is there. I was just discussing with Banu Maharaj, we were discussing how in one city in India, some Ritvik group from Bangalore, they started a new center, but then the person who started that center, they split off from the main Ritvik group and started another one. So that reminded me of the Protestant church, because they protested against the Catholic church. That's why they're called Protestant. And they made their own church. Now, no doubt, there were grounds to protest about. So they thought, no, we're going to do something better. But they, because they didn't accept the authority of the church, they made their own new authority. But then after some time, people within that church found, well, there's something to protest about in the Protestant church, and why should we follow this authority? They didn't follow their authority. So then they made a new church. And now there are literally thousands of Protestant churches. I'm not talking about church buildings, but organizations. Literally thousands, because they break up and break up and break up, and they don't accept any authority. Whereas the Catholic Church is still going on as the main church. Now you may say, why are we talking about the church here? Well, Prabhupada, he said we should actually study the Catholic Church. He said, because they're well organized, how we can organize. So the principle of
following the authority despite the difficulties goes on there. Now, it's not that within the Catholic Church everyone agrees with everything, but they have the principle of sticking together under the authority, even though they may disagree. So, for all the, I was raised a Catholic and I left that because I found it theologically dissatisfying, to say the least. But nevertheless, the Catholic churches and the Protestant churches also, they've done some good in the world in promoting God consciousness at some level. So Prabhupada wanted that devotees remain within ISKCON and serve together and work out their differences within the organization. It can be difficult, but Sanghe Shakti Kalo Yuge, in Kali Yuga we get strength from association. In Satya Yuga, everyone did meditation individually, but that's not going to work in Kali Yuga. We have to work together. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Things don't work. So, that's just some little thought or realization we've been having in the last few days, that if we can't work together, then we have to work. Prabhupada also allowed that. Sometimes you say, then, all right, you work. If you can't work under, then you work separately. But then you can't expect. Prabhupada encouraged people to go on with Krishna consciousness in all circumstances. But we can't expect that there'll be the same kind of strength that comes from a unified movement if we all work together. So there's just a few thoughts there. Hare Krishna. Any questions, please? Where's the sweets from Surat? That's the next question, is it? Well, started the class talking about sweets from Surat. What's it called? Kari? You don't know? You're a Gujarati and you don't know? No. Only the Surat people know. That sweet, it's made from, it's like, inside it's like, it's made from koa with some different nuts, and then outside it's covered in ghee. It's famous in Surat. Huh? No, no, it's called kari something. Huh? No, no, no. Bengalis don't. Bengalis have plenty of good sweets, but that one was famous for Surat. Well, Prabhupada, he said that preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than the sweetest mango. So, yeah, speak in the mic, whatever you're going to say.
You were saying that we should be focused towards our goal, that is pure devotional service to our Krishna. We are, I feel myself focused to the extent my sense gratification, my ego is not there. But when that happens, then we look to protect ourselves and we try to compromise our devotion. So how to remain focused in all circumstances? What practical measures do you instruct us?
Remember the great devotees? How they have acted in various circumstances. That's what's meant by Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. How should we act when we feel our ego, when we feel our prestige is being attacked? When our egoism comes to the fore. Then in any circumstance we can remember the example of great devotees. How have they acted in such circumstances? Just one example, in Sweden, Prabhupada was lecturing at the University of Uppsala, and he was, because Sweden is a socialistic country, not in the, it was never under the Russian socialism, it was more inclined to the Western world, but its economic system, up to today, is very socialistic. So Prabhupada was speaking about the divisions of society, Varnashram society. First class. Just one example, in Sweden, Prabhupada was lecturing at the University of Uppsala, and he was, because Sweden is socialistic country, not in the, it was never under the Russian socialism, it was more inclined to the Western world, but its economic system, up to today, is very socialistic. So Prabhupada was speaking about the divisions of society, Varnashram society. First class man, second class man, third class man, fourth class man. Which, for Swedish people to hear this is, they don't like this at all, because they very strongly promote that everyone is equal. So at the end of the class, the lecture, then the question came that, the challenge came, someone said, obviously you consider yourself a first class man. Prabhupada said, no, I am the last class, because I am the servant of everyone. That was Prabhupada's immediate response. That's the mood to be cultivated. I am the servant of everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah, you can announce. That's a new edition of Krishna book in Telugu. What's this? Oh, this is Krishna book, new edition. Announce them. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay, I'll give us a free gift to whoever buys a book, because there's not enough to give. There's not enough to give everyone.
Hare Krishna. Here we have books of Srila Prabhupada and these are Ms. Madhika Smaraj. So I request all the devotees to come and take books. Here we have new edition of Jai Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have Bhaktisiddhanta Swamiji Maharaj, Glimpses of Traditional India, Brahmacharya Krishna Consciousness, Pilgrimage to India, and we have new edition of Krishna book also. We have a series of Maharaj in English, Hindi and Bengali.